Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I am very excited to have Dr. Lee Cowden with us. Dr. Cowden is an internationally known doctor for practicing and teaching integrative medicine. He is skilled in evaluative kinesiology, homeopathy, orthomolecular and herbal therapies, reflexology, neural therapy, and acupressure, as well as fixed magnetic, electromagnetic, and detoxification techniques. A U.S. board certified cardiologist, internist, and clinical nutritionist, Dr. Cowden now teaches full-time. He has contributed to many health books and is a co-author of Foods That Fit a Unique You, Create a Toxin-Free Body and Home Starting Today, Bioenergetic Tools for Wellness, How to Heal from Fatigue, Pain, Insomnia, Depression, and Anxiety, An Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide to Cancer, Cancer Diagnosis, What to Do Next. He's traveled to Peru numerous times over the last two decades to help identify plants for use in supplements. Welcome, Dr. Cowden. So happy to have you.
Great to be on with you today.
Thank you. So you are internationally known for practicing and teaching integrative medicine, but people might not be as familiar with your faith. Can you share a little bit about how God moved your career and your life?
Yeah, God started my switch to integrative medicine very early on, and I had lived all my life in arid West Texas and got accepted to medical school in Houston. So I moved there in 1975, and there's a lot of humidity there, a lot of grass and weeds and trees and mold and fungus and other things that I'd never been exposed to before. So very soon after I moved there, I developed allergic rhinitis, then allergic sinusitis, then infective sinusitis, then bronchitis, and finally pneumonia. And I was getting progressively worse, and I went to the chairman of three different medical school departments to get help. And followed their advice explicitly, took their drugs, and got progressively worse. And thank goodness about that time, my wife's grandmother came to visit us. She was a school teacher and self-taught nutritionist. She had pity on me. She took me to the health food store, got me on some vitamins, minerals, and herbs, and I got well in about a month. And I thought, my goodness, I need to learn what this woman knows, and I need to take with a grain of salt everything I learned in the training institution after this. So anytime I had time to read or study something, I didn't study medical journals and medical texts. I read books on nutrition, books on herbs, books on magnetic therapies, books on fixed magnetic therapies, and so on and so on. So I was doing that all the time. I was going through the rest of my medical school and residency and fellowship. So after nine years, I was pretty skilled in integrative medicine. I would try things that I learned on myself, my family, my friends, but I was not using it on patients. Mm-hmm. And so then I did, after I finished the fellowship in critical care and cardiology, I did that type of medicine for a year, and I was completely miserable. I saw that I was helping patients, but only temporarily. They would all end up back in the intensive care unit within a couple of months after they were discharged. And so I figured out I needed to intervene much further upstream and switched over to integrative medicine at that time.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so then when you actually got started, it sounds like from what I hear that God really kind of moved your practice so that you were able to flourish and got a whole lot of patients all at once. Tell us how that happened.
Yeah. Well, I guess the most memorable thing, my wife and I decided to move to Dallas from St. Louis after a couple of years of practicing integrative medicine up there. Yeah. And because we had a lot of relatives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I thought, well, I'll just get on the staff at the biggest hospital in town, and that'll bring me patients. And I was going to try to get an office in the medical building, but I asked how much the price was, and it was extremely high rental price. So I came out of the hospital kind of discouraged, and I looked up and saw across the street a sign on the shopping center that said office for rent. And I thought, well, that's close to the hospital. I'll go over there and talk. And it was about half the price of the one in the hospital. And when I went ahead and rented it, about 1,000 square feet of office space, and I didn't learn until later that I had rented the office space right down the hallway from the busiest cardiologist in town. So God was watching over me, and people would come out of the elevator, walk past my door, go down to his door, walk in, ask his receptionist, when can Dr. Choice is? And she would say, oh, about 3 months. And they said, we'll be dead by then. And they would come out of his office very discouraged, walk past my door, and they'd see board-certified cardiologist on the door. They'd walk into my and ask my receptionist, well, when can Dr. Cowden see us? Well, how about today?
Fantastic.
And so I got all of his overflow, and started giving them instruction about diet and vitamins and minerals and herbs and other natural things. And I was using the free pharmaceutical provided notepads to write all that information on. And my receptionist said, you can't keep doing that. That's oxymoronic. She said, I'm going to go get you some notepads. So at lunchtime, she went down to the office supply store and brought back a stack of notepads that was about almost a foot thick. And it was lined lavender notepads.
Oh, my.
And I said, lavender? She said, you're going to use those. I paid good money for those. She was a very frugal woman. I later learned she paid $1 for the whole stack.
Bless her heart. That's great.
But anyway, I would write the notes on about the vitamins, minerals, herbs, and so on the lavender notepads. And the patients would go to the health food store, and they would walk into the health food store, and the health food store clerk would walk up to them while they were looking at their lined lavender notepad, and the store clerk would say, well, what does Dr. Cowden want you to have? They'd say, do I have a sign on me? How do you know I came from Dr. Cowden's office? Well, that's his calling card.
The lavender. That's so funny.
Yeah. So anyway, we had rapid growth, went from zero patients in 1987 to 4,500 active patients and 4,000 inactive patients as of 1994.
Wow, that's amazing. Definitely the blessing of the Lord. That's great.
Yeah.
So the story of you visiting Peru to find medicinal plants is just so awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about how did God supernaturally lead you to the herbs that you needed to investigate in order to make people well?
Well, just like God was giving me words of knowledge about patients in the office, he gave me words of knowledge on my first visit to Peru about the beneficial effects of the herbs that we saw there. And so when I would hear the Holy Spirit say, that one, and, that's beneficial for X, Y, or Z, then I would, let the folks know that went with me, and they would say, I guess we need to get some of that and make it into extracts and, see if we can find some people that have that problem and use it. And in almost every case, the results were amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when the Lord would lead you to a particular plant, would you kind of intuitively know what its properties would be, or you would just know this is a medicinal plant, take it back to the lab and investigate? Or did you see people that popped into your mind, or how did that actually work?
Yes. Usually the Holy Spirit would give me a word knowledge, about, a particular disease condition that plant would be beneficial for. And sometimes it was more than one condition. And sometimes I could see that from a distance. I could look at a tree or a plant or whatever. I could see that it would have, some beneficial effect, and the word a disease process would pop into my mind, what that would be beneficial for.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just love how God wants us to be well, and he gives so many ways for that to happen. So he's got all of this abundance in the natural world, and he just leads his people right to it. So, and so you are kind of, you've sort of alluded to the Lord giving you words of wisdom and knowledge with individual plants. What about when you were practicing? Did you get similar words of wisdom when they were right in front of you as well?
Yes, absolutely. And very often God would say, you know, ask the patient about something. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, it was not something that the patient had been talking about or that was written on their history. It was just something out of the blue. And so I would ask the question, and very often the patient would start, you know, crying, you know, uncontrollably after I asked the question. And I realized that, you know, God was using those questions and answers to the questions to start a healing process in them.
Yeah, that's great. Very cool. So, and how exactly, I know a lot of your practice ended up being about Lyme. How did you come to be a specialist in Lyme and Lyme co-infections?
Well, I was hosting an international cancer conference in Fort Worth in 2002. And a naturopathic doctor that I knew came there with her grandson and said, my grandson has Lyme disease. He's been diagnosed by a Lyme odor physician. And he's taken all the antibiotics that the doctor recommended, and he's getting progressively worse. Before he became ill with Lyme disease, he was an A student and an avid athlete, and now he's a D student and can't even perform in any athletics. And she said, you know, what would you do? And I said, we were standing in the exhibit hall close to a booth where they had cat's claw product. So I said, well, this is supposed to be, you know, a very broad spectrum antimicrobial. Yeah, let's see if it energetically tests well. So she knew how to do muscle testing, so she muscle tested. I mean, it tested very good. So she said, we'll go to the Lyme odor physician and, you know, get his approval to stop the antibiotics and start this, and then I'll let you know. I said, okay. So then they left. Well, I later learned that the grandmother had taken the grandson home, and they took some samples of the cat's claw with them from the exhibit. And I later learned that the grandson, without even telling his parents or his grandmother, he stopped the antibiotics on his own and started taking the herb on his own. And he was pretty much completely well in about a month. And he confessed to his parents and to his grandmother what he had done. And so the grandmother went back to the Lyme odor physician and said, you know, he stopped the antibiotics and started this herb, and he got completely well. And the Lyme odor physician said, no, that's not possible. That was just, you know, happenstance, coincidence, you know, had nothing to do with that stupid herb. It was, the antibiotics that I'd given previously finally catching up. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, I'm pretty sure it was the herb. And so anyway, she said, can you send me some patients that haven't responded to the antibiotics so that I can, you know, supervise them going on to this herb and some other, you know, natural drainage remedies and stuff like that. And he said, sure, have at it. You know, they're not getting better with the antibiotics. Might as well try what you want to try. You'll see pretty soon that it doesn't work. So we sent her 50-some-odd patients. And,
oh, wow.
And every one of them got markedly better within about 3 or 4 months.
That's great. So I take it from that story that you never did treat with antibiotics. You went the herbal route the whole time, right?
Yes. After I started using the herbal products for Lyme disease, and, you know, I did, you know, what I call the trial and error type process. You know, medicine is supposed to be a science, but it's really not. It's much more an art than it is a science. But what I would do is if I had a patient on a group of products based on muscle testing, based on some other, you know, other type of testing, And I wanted to find out if one of those products was particularly important, then I would stop only that one product and remain, continue the patient on the others. And if the patient got worse, I said, yep, that was necessary. I put it back on and then pick another one to stop. And so after doing that for a few years, I became pretty knowledgeable about, what works and what doesn't work.
Right.
And so I got a call from Dr. Richard Horowitz up in New York, and he said, I've got, I think he said at that time, 5,000 Lyme patients in my practice, and 500 of them were doing very poorly. Do you have any ideas what we can do for them? I said, well, I might. So I sent him a written list of the natural products that that I had been using successfully for treating Lyme patients, and he said, so how do we use them? I said, well, just do it this way, twice a day, four meals, whatever all the instruction was. And so he put, I think, almost 100 patients on that program, and they got, quite a bit better. I mean, I think he said that everybody improved some, but the average improvement in the group was about 70%.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me up really excited about that, said, I'm going to present this at the International Lyme Associated Disease Conference this year.
Ah.
And I said, well, that's good. Share the knowledge. He said, 70% is really good. I said, it's really good for the 70%, but it's not very good for the 30%. What are you going to do about those? And he said, well, what do you suggest? I said, well, if you'll gather about a dozen of them together, I'll come up to your office and evaluate them and see if we can figure out why the others are not improving.
Uh-huh.
He said, okay. So he did that, and I went up to his office, and I evaluated a group of 12 patients. And there was a variety of reasons why they were failing the treatment program, but, they were most of them were not drinking any water. They were drinking coffee and sodas and calling that hydration. They were eating way too much sugar. Most of them had a mouthful of mercury amalgams that was poisoning their immune system. Many of them had mold or fungus in their house or in their workplace or both, and that was impairing their immune function. And a lot of other things like that. But a few of them had resistant organisms and so on. So I went back and modified the program to try to address some of the things that we could could address. I said in the subsequent instructions, don't bother taking this program unless you're drinking at least a couple of quarts of water per day, spread out through the day, ideally 2 ounces every 15 minutes. And so he put another large group of patients on that program, and reported after 6 months that 85% had improved.
85% of the 30% that previously had failed, you mean?
No, you just put a whole new group of patients on. So 85% of all patients were improving.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so, you got rid of the problem in about half of those that that had previously failed, but not all of them.
Yep.
And, some of them could not sell their house or move or remediate their house from mold. Mm-hmm. Some of them couldn't afford the dental work to remove the mercury amalgams and so on. So, there's clear-cut causes for failures, but I believe that, and I found that if the patient is willing to address all the causes of Lyme disease, that about 95% can improve without any pharmaceutical drugs.
That's awesome, yeah. So you kind of alluded to this, but I have some Lyme patients, and I'm sure you've seen many, that are so sensitive they can't tolerate the herbs at the beginning. Do you have any favorite strategies for how to address those people at the beginning? Is that mostly about finding and removing obstacle to cure firsthand, beforehand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First thing you always do is hydrate them, get them on clean food, and start detoxifying them. The program that I had recommended to Dr. Horowitz was the first 3 days, nothing that kills bugs, only things that detoxify. And then after that, start at a really low dose, really, really low dose, like one drop of the antimicrobial herbal, and watch the patient's response. And if they, do, tolerate that, then just gradually increase the dose. But some patients can't even tolerate one drop. So in some cases, we went to one quarter drop. I had a CEO ask me, how do you do a quarter drop?
I was wondering.
I said, well, if you put a drop of an herb in a spoon and you add three drops of water and you mix it and then you take one drop of that, what do you have? He said a quarter drop of herb. I said, that's right. So anyway, a few patients can't even tolerate a quarter drop. So in some cases, what you have to do is resort to homeopathy for a time.
Yep.
So you find one homeopathic dilution of one microbe, make homeopathic dilution of that microbe and give that to them, maybe one drop, and then two, and then three, and four, build up over time to, you know, maybe 10 drops. And then once you build up on the drops, then start building up on the homeopathic dilution. Homeopathics become stronger as they become more diluted. So a 6x is 1 divided by 10 to the 6th power, and a 30x dilution is 1 divided by 10 to the 30th power. So, you know, it's up in those, you know, 30x dilutions and above that the patients finally get a fairly significant immune bump, and then they finally overcome the bugs themselves.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Very cool. So is there anything I have not asked you that you want to make sure that you leave with our audience? Any additional stories or tips?
Yeah, I think the most important thing for everyone to know is that there are no such thing as untreatable conditions. There's only such thing as untreatable people. And what I mean by that, if the person has a really negative attitude, they've been told, for example, they've been told by a doctor that they're not ever going to get well, and they believe it, then they won't ever get well. But if they change their attitude, change their belief system, and start doing the things that are necessary, in most cases, they can get markedly better, or sometimes completely well. So if someone has told a patient, you know, you're never going to get better, you're going to always be this way, then I would say leave that place as quickly as you can and never go back. And as soon as you get out of the presence of that person, then use the power of prayer to cast that demonic influence from the words that were spoken out of you like a curse. Because it is a word curse. And, you know, I don't think doctors and nurses are intentionally evil. I just think they're uneducated about the power of the word and the power of the, you know, the spiritual influences on a person's ability to recover. So, you know, they need to, you know, come against that in prayer. And, you know, that there's a story in Mark 9 about a man who took his son to be healed from seizures. And the Jesus wasn't there at the moment, so the apostles were trying to set this boy free from seizures and from the demon that caused the seizures, and they had no success. And about that time, Jesus walked up and said, what are y'all doing here? He didn't have to ask that question. I mean, he's God. He knew what was going on. He just wanted to see what they were going to say. So the father said, your apostles tried to set my boy free from the demon that causes the seizures, and they were unsuccessful. If you can help him, help him. And Jesus said, if I can help him? And the man recognized his mistake, and he says, yes, I believe that you can help him. Help me with my unbelief. Okay, so the enemy of faith is unbelief. And it only takes one word or one group of words spoken by a doctor or nurse to create unbelief. And so we need to treat that like a curse and cast it out.
Absolutely. And in that particular case, I also think that the visual of the boy having seizures functioned as natural unbelief to the disciples as well. So Jesus wasn't looking at any of that. He was looking at the power that he knew he had and what he was about to do. Absolutely.
I don't remember if he did that prior to raising the first person from the dead in front of the apostles, but he had done many other miracles before Mark 9. The apostles knew that he could, but they had some degree of unbelief themselves, as you're saying.
Sure, absolutely. So where can people go to find out more about you?
Well, in 2008, I worked with some other folks to put together an online teaching platform. And it's called acimconnect.com.
acimconnect.com, okay.
Yeah, it stands for the Academy of Comprehensive Integrative Medicine. Mm-hmm. And Connect is about connecting doctors to doctors, doctors to patients, patients to patients. And so acimconnect.com has a couple of thousand hours worth of educational information about integrative medicine.
Awesome.
And so people can go on there, become a free member, and then search for something that they have an interest in. And there's a few free archived webinars on there, so people can get some stuff free. But there's a small charge for a lot of the educational material that's on there. But if a person finds something that's, looks very likely going to make a huge difference in their life and in their health, then they pay that small amount of money, watch that material, apply it to their life. If it helps them, then they say, that worked well. I'm going to go back and see what else I can learn.
Sure. Fantastic. All right. So I will link to that in the show notes. And thank you so much, Dr. Cowden, for coming on and sharing your knowledge and your experience with the Lord. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and I hope that many people will benefit from this.
I hope so too.
I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of Christian Natural Health, Let's Get Checked. Let's Get Checked offers at-home finger prick testing for essential fatty acids, including omega-3 and omega-6. Your omega-6 to 3 ratio should be about 4 to 1, but the standard American diet ratio is closer to 20 to 1, mostly because we eat a lot of processed vegetable oils in this country. This means inflammation, which sets you up for a whole host of chronic illnesses. We should really all be taking an essential fatty acid supplement, and omega-3 especially, but getting tested will help you determine whether you're taking enough. You can order these tests, no doctor's order required, at TRYLGC.com/CNH omega, and you'll get a package containing lancets for your finger and a test tube for collection of a small amount of blood and a prepaid label to ship it back. Once you receive the results, if you have any questions, you can speak to a nurse practitioner on their team. Again, that link is TRYLGC.com/CNH omega, and enter the coupon code CNH20 for 20% off your order.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Have you ever felt conflict between your faith and feelings? If so, you're not alone. My name's Carly Mercouyer. I'm a licensed therapist and the host of the Therapy and Theology podcast, where we explore popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. I want to invite you to join me every Thursday as we fearlessly name the complexities of our reality, grow in the awareness of who we are, and rediscover the power and purpose of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. Subscribe today at lifeaudio.com.